This morning, and I realize that it's Easter. I realize that it's a day that we celebrate and give praise for the resurrection day, because he lives, we live also. It's never been my policy, I guess you would say. I teach what I'm teaching, and I go where I've been. And so if you think you came this morning to hear something on the Easter and resurrection, you'd be mistaken, although we're here for that reason. So we are in the second book of Thessalonians, in the first chapter. So if you would turn to Ezekiel chapter 7. And I would remind you of chapter 5 in Isaiah. It's what I deem the great woe chapter in the Bible. And I want to point out to you one verse in that chapter where he says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil," and you'll remember this immediately, "and sweet bitter and bitter sweet." I don't know if you're paying attention to what's going on in this country and in this world, but folks, it is going downhill at a very rapid pace. Just this week, don't know if you saw it or not, just this week in a church in Fargo, North Dakota, a quote-unquote preacher, female or male, I couldn't tell, was saying that the young lady who was wanting to be a man who killed all the children in Nashville was justified because she was persecuted as Christ was persecuted. I hope that alarms you. I hope that shocks you. That ought to shock us. I keep telling you every week, folks, it's out here. I mean, you know, a young lady in San Francisco just this week, was asked to come and speak. She is a female swimmer, had won All-American honors 12 times, was beaten in the finals by a man who identified as a woman, and she's going around and all she's saying is, "It's not right. Men are men and women are women. Men are stronger than women." And for that, she was chased. And they had to put her in a room for 3 hours for protection from trans activists. Woe unto them. Now look, I realize it, and it's going every day, and I'm not being political, folks. You're going to see in a minute, I'm teaching this right here. This book will tell you all about it. Before you ever see it on TV, this book is going to tell you about it. Then when you see it on TV, you ought not be shocked. That's where we're living. And I'm going to tell you right now, it reminded me, as I watched it, it reminded me of the story of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah when the two angels came in and the homosexuals, and that's what they were, the Sodomites, if you will, wanted them to come out. They were struck with blindness and they continued to beat on that door. Now, if you think that's not biblical, I would remind you of what it says in Romans. God will turn them over to a reprobate mind. Look that word up sometime. You'll see it. Now, I'm going to tell you, and you take it for what it's worth, it's not an uncompassionate statement. I don't say the things I say with glee. I say them with a burden. But they are not their own God, folks. They're making it a religion now. They're their own God. They can determine their own gender. Well, no, they can't. No, they can't. And if they don't realize it in time, they will stand before God, the real God, the God of all the earth, the Almighty God. And they will hear Him say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." That's how serious it is. That's how serious it is. Don't lose your testimony, folks. Don't be afraid. Hey, the Bible says they're going to hate you because they hated Him. The Bible says he or she that liveth godly. Anybody know the rest of that verse? He that liveth godly in Christ Jesus. And you know, you can't leave that part off. You can't just go out and try to act godly. Because if you're not in Christ, you can't be godly.
That's right.
Because you don't know God. What was I saying? I forgot. They that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You're going to suffer persecution. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not just throwing that out. That's going to come up today. So let's read, if you will. I'm going to read very quickly because I'm going to read quite a bit in Ezekiel chapter 4. Here we go. Are you there?
I am.
All right, here we go. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, I think when God says something, better pay attention.
That's right.
Also, thou son of man, thus saith the Lord God unto the land of Israel, the end is come upon the four corners of the land. Now, the four corners just means north, south, east, and west, and that covers it all. It doesn't matter where you live. When the end comes, it'll come to you.
That's right.
It'll come to me. It's coming. And he says, and now the end is come upon thee, and I will send mine anger upon thee, and will judge thee according to thy ways, and will recompense, remember that word, file it under R, recompense, it means appropriate payment. Recompense upon thee all thine abominations. He says that when a man lies with a man or a woman with a woman, it's an abomination. And that's not changed, folks. I realize Ezekiel's quite a ways back. But it's not changed. Oh, we make new laws. If we don't like the laws that we have, we just make us some more. God made them. Set them in stone, if you will. Settled them in heaven, if you will. And they're not changing. Amen. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for it. And he's not changed his mind.
Right.
He's just long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. Good morning. Good to see you. Gone, son, this is fill a roll. Tell you what, when the queen come, I wish the queen would come more often. We'd get them in here. They pack in here to see the queen. Honey, I'm just reading. I'm on verse 4 now. And mine eyes shall not spare thee. Now who's saying this? Well, it said, thus saith the Lord. There's going to come at the end, folks, when God ain't going to spare you. If you're not in Christ, He's not going to show mercy. I know that doesn't sound good, and that's, you know, that doesn't tickle your ear, but it ought to touch your heart. And mine eyes shall not spare thee, neither will I have pity. You know what God shows right now? Pity.
That's right.
Come to Him, He says. Remember last week? Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and live. If you'll turn to me, I'll show you pity. I'll give you mercy if you turn. But these people wouldn't turn. Now the end's come. and there'll be no pity. I know we've got this idea that we hear every day, and I teach it every Sunday, where they say, oh, God is a God of love. He is. That's the same God of love just said, I won't spare you, and I won't pity you. You better figure out which side of on God you are. That's what a person better do. There's two sides to God. Remember, he says, I put some on the right side, and I put some on the... Better figure out where you're going to be seated. Mm-hmm. On the left side or the right side? Right on the side. Right side or the left side? See, y'all thought I would... I'm smarter than that. I may run for office one of these days. I know how to get out of that. But I will recompense... There's that word again. I will recompense thy ways upon thee. You live like hell, that's where you're going. And thine abomination shall be in the midst of thee. You go ahead and say it's okay. When you stand before me, I'll say it's not. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that everyone in heaven and in earth and under the earth should bow the knee and confess with the tongue that that's who he is, the exalted one. And the end of that says, to the glory of God the Father. You can know now, a person can know now the Lord and be saved. Or they can choose to live their own life and say, that's just baloney. You know what will happen when you stand before God? You'll know who he is. That's what it says. They're going to know. Oh, it won't be pretty. But they're going to know. These people that choose to live their own way and be their own God and have their own religion, not going to turn out for them. You say, Tom, why do you say all this? Hopefully that it'll cause compassion in us, folks. Hopefully that we'll look on them with pity and not disdain. Oh, don't get me wrong. I hate what they do. I hate sin. But I got to love the soul. Mm-hmm. I got to show compassion and realize that God can take such a vile, wicked person and save them.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
But if they refuse that, they get this.
That's right.
It's coming. Boy, and I'm going to tell you one thing. It's like some of these trains ain't got no brake. It's building up speed. I know that's improper English if we have any young people in here, but sometimes I speak improperly. I'm just an old boy from Irwin. Don't know any better. And evil is come. The end is come. It watches for thee. Behold, it is come. How many times did he say that? You know, in Revelation, the last part of that book, you know what it says? It says, and let the bride say, come. And let him that is athirst come. Let them come and drink of the water of life freely. You can come to him now before he comes to you later. But it's a person's choice, isn't it? The morning is coming to thee, O thou dwellest in the land. The time is come. The day of trouble, file that under T for trouble. The day of trouble is near. And not the sounding again of the mountains. Now I will shortly pour out my fury upon thee. Have you heard anything about love in any of this? Have you heard anything about mercy in anything that I've read? Have you heard anything about grace in anything that I've read to you right here? No. Because I'm going to tell you something. There's a time coming in every individual that ever lives on this earth in which grace will be no more. Now, I would say to anyone, if they were here or if it was in the world, if I was on TV, I'd say it. If I was on a mountain where they could hear me, I would say it. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow don't ever come, my friend. There is no such thing as tomorrow. Because when you wake up in the morning, it ain't tomorrow, it's today. That's why he says today is the day. There's no such thing. Well, I'll do it tomorrow. Bless God, there ain't no such thing. What are you going to do? Because tomorrow it'll be today, if you see it. So then he comes on over and he says, in verse 12, he says this, the time has come. The day draws near. Well, I wish people believe that. You know, I tell people all the time, I wish more people would believe what I say. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you're destined for hell. But if you'll turn to Him, you'll be destined for heaven. It's not complicated. It's simple, isn't it? God didn't make it complicated. He could have. God's complicated, folks. Hey, His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are higher than the heavens. He could have made it real complicated for us. But He knew we were a simple people. And He made it simple. Turn to me. Look unto me. Desire me. Want me. I'll do the rest. What a God. What a God. What a God that would give His life up and say, oh, I'll give it up, but I got the power to take it up. Yeah. Whew, isn't that good? That's who He's asking to turn. That's who He's asking a person to turn to. He's not asking you to turn to some religion, some myth. He says, turn to me. Let not the buyer rejoice, nor the seller mourn. Boy, I tell you what, you let that stock market go down about 400 or 500 points. You'll see them crying in the street. I'll never will forget. I won't say who it was. I have a real good friend of mine. And he's wealthy. Right? There's no doubt about that. He's wealthy. And 1987, anybody remember October 1987? You know, that's when the stock market went down 500 points. At that time, it was 20% of the market. And I never will forget, they said to John Walton, they said, how does it feel to lose $2 billion in one day? He said, well, I didn't lose anything. I didn't sell. It wasn't long until it went back up more than it was, and he got, you know, he didn't lose that. But anyway, this guy that I'm telling you about, he invited me to go down to Amelia Island. Anybody know where that's at? You've been there? Oh, it was gorgeous. It was gorgeous. And so he and I and two others, we went down. I won't tell you why we went, but, you know, they have golf courses down there, I'm told. And so anyway, I never will forget. On that day, we played golf, and the word started spreading. Well, he came in after nine holes, he came in there, and it was all plastered on TV and everything. Well, he couldn't do a thing on the back nine. I mean, he tore all to pieces. And that night, I got up about 2 o'clock in the morning to get some water. And I walked in there. He's just sitting there staring at the TV. The ticker stay. He's going right by. All that money going downhill. Well, that was just 20% of the market, folks. When it all starts crashing, he says, you're going to mourn.
No.
Oh, yeah, he does. Well, no, I ain't talking to you, Joe, unless you're in this chapter. Honey, can you help him? Do you not have an elbow? My gosh, where'd that lady's elbows go when you need them? I'm just teasing you. Just teasing. The time has come, the day draweth near. Let not the buyer rejoice, nor the seller mourn, for wrath is upon all the multitude thereof. Ain't leaving anybody out, folks. He won't leave anyone out. I'm going to tell you something that's hard to understand right now. He won't leave your children out. If they're at the age of accountability, if they know that they're lost and they don't turn to him, he'll show them no pity. He'll show them no mercy. That's hard, isn't it? But we better get that down pat. No wonder he said, cry aloud. Don't spare them. Don't milk or don't water down the truth. You do it not only at your own pearl, but at their pearl. Because he says, if you don't do it, I'll hold their blood to you. But if you tell them that and they don't listen, I'll hold their blood to them. This is so serious. I know this is solemn stuff. I get that. But it's a solemn thing, folks. All you got to do is look around. It's coming down. I mean, we're talking about nuclear wars now. Huh? Hey, it wouldn't take... Listen, this thing is so hot and the candle is so dry right now. It wouldn't take but one little spark. This thing go up so fast it'd make your head swim. It's serious. Better get our folks in the ark, folks. It's that simple. For the seller shall not return to that which is sold, although they were yet alive. For the vision is touching the whole multitude thereof, which shall not return. Neither shall any strengthen himself in the iniquity of his life. All this that you did that was sinful won't give you any solace now. The end is come. Look, if you will, at 2 Thessalonians. Oh, that's where we're at. We'll cover the first chapter. And you all recall how it starts, right? Paul and Silvanus. Now, Silvanus there is simply Silas. And the Timotheus there is simply Timothy. So he's saying, from Paul and Silas and Timothy, this letter is to you. Well, that's the same three that wrote the first letter, right? Now, I want you to notice that he starts this letter exactly like he started the first letter. Why would that be? The message don't change. It doesn't matter if it's one letter, two letter, three letter, four, five letter, 6 days, 10 potatoes. Oh, y'all remember? One potato, two potato, three potato, four. I don't know where I come up with this stuff. I'm crazy. I'm nuts. The queen's in the house and I'm fired up. He says, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which are in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The same as he said in the first letter. It hadn't changed, folks. He said that thousands of years ago. Do you know what he would say if he were standing here this morning to this body? He'd say the same thing. If you're in the church, you're in the Father and the Son. If you're not in the Father and the Son, you're not in the church, although you're in a church. A church is not the church. And then he says this, grace unto you. Now who's the you? The church. Only the church has grace, folks. Only the church. And then he says, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the same two that got you into the church gave you the grace that got you into the church and gives you the peace that you have from being in the church. I don't care to tell you, although my soul is troubled daily, just as Lot's was, it says Lot's righteous soul was vexed daily. Well, if yours is not, you've got your head in the sand. If you're looking up at all, your soul is vexed every day from the wickedness and the rejection of Christ that's going on. Then he says this, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet or fitting, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity or the love of every one of you all toward each other continues to grow or abounds. Now, it is only right, he says, to thank God for that. If your faith has grown, don't stick your chest out. If your love for one another has gotten larger, don't stick your chest out. God's doing it. Therefore, give God the thanks. You know, too many times we take too much credit for our faith. I'm a person of faith. Well, if you are, then hold your head up and say, thank you, God. Amen. Because faith is about the finished work of His Son. And if His Son don't come and do the finished work, you could trust all you want to. It ain't going nowhere. So he says, so that we ourselves glory in you. Now, if you make notes in your Bible, won't you circle glory and just write the word boast, B-O-A-S-T. You say, well, Tom, we shouldn't be boasting about one another. We're all just saved by the grace of God. Why would we boast towards one another? Well, let's see what he says. So that we ourselves boast in you in the churches of... He says, everywhere I go in the different churches, I boast of you. Why does he boast of them, he says? Well, he says, for your patience. Hupomone is the word, and it means long suffering while you wait, or cheerfulness while you are waiting. Waiting for what? Well, we'll see. They're cheerful while they're waiting. But while they're waiting, they're also being chastened, not by God, by the wicked. Remember, he that liveth godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. And they're suffering. He'll tell you in a moment. He says, and for your patience and faith in all your persecutions. Now, the word persecutions simply means pursuing. In other words, they were constantly being pursued. You remember, that's how the church grew. You know, a body of believers would start a church, and they would come in and begin to persecute them. You know what they would do, Jimmy? Starts with an F, the next layer is L, the next layer is E, flee. and they would flee over here. Well, you know what? When they got there, you know what would happen? They'd start another church. They'd start giving out the gospel, and more people would begin to believe Christ. And now we've got another church over here. And you know what would happen? They would get persecuted. You know what they would do? And you know what would happen? How do you think the church went around the world? They thought, you remember the story of Joseph and his brothers? And you remember that statement that Joseph made about that incident? Yeah. See, those that were persecuting them, oh, they meant it for evil. But God said, well, I know you mean that for evil, but I'm going to spread my church all the way around the world. So just keep running them off. Because wherever they light, they're going to start all over. So he says, I'm thanking God for that. Folks, look, I wish one day, oh, you don't know how I wish. I wish one day I'd come in here and teach them we couldn't find a seat. But I don't want to do it other than through this. I don't want to get some band up that everybody loves. Say, now come out Sunday morning, we got an entertainment. They fill out this place. That doesn't give God any glory. I'll tell you what gives God glory. It's when they pile in here because they've heard from us. When we're out of here, boy, come over. You'll hear the word of God. If you've got a hunger for it, you'll get fed. If you've got a thirst for it, you'll get a drink. Bless God, if you've got an appetite, it'll start getting bigger. I sent a text to someone I liked the other day, and I said, I'm just praying for an appetite that is unsatiable and a thirst that is unquenchable. I hope I never come to the time when I think I've got enough of this. In all your persecutions and tribulations. The word tribulation there means trouble. Or to be squeezed. No one likes to be squeezed, do they? No one likes to be pressured. Remember that story on Andy Griffith? You know, where the guy, they set him up a store outside, you know. And he says, Now, Andy, I can sell, but I don't like to be pushy. I don't like to be pushy. No one likes to be pressured. You pressure my wife when she comes in a store to shop, and you know what you're going to see? Her leaving. I mean, they'll come up, is there anything I can show you? I'll let you know. Because you don't like to be pressured. I don't like to be pressured. You know, you go in to buy a car. Now, brother, you need to get this while they're going fast. Or you go in to look at a house. Well, now, you know how the market is. We need to make an offer today. You know what you'll see? My back. And I'll say, well, if it sells, it's okay. I don't like to be pressured. No. Well, that's not real pressure, folks. These folks were being pressured physically. They were being killed. They were being ostracized by their own families. Imagine that. They come to Christ for salvation, and their family, who are Jewish, ostracizes them. Has nothing to do with them. If that wouldn't pressure you, you ate something wrong with you. Now, there's times I don't want my brothers to come around. But I don't want to be ostracized by them. Anybody seen Becky this morning? Oh, there she is. And tribulation that ye endure, that you stand up to. Well, folks, you don't stand up on your own. Could I tell you that? You try to stand up to the world on your own and you will crumble right before them. You better be standing on the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. And then he says this. This is probably one of my favorite things. Seeing it is a right thing with God. It's only right for God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Now, I'm going to give it to you in my vernacular, because I'm just a simple boy from Irwin. The day's coming when God's going to trouble them that trouble you. Isn't that what it says? The word recompense simply means an appropriate payment. Anyone ever had someone to do a job for you and you say, now what I owe you? And they'll say, well, whatever you think it's worth. Yeah. Oh boy, I hate that. Yeah. I mean, I can't stand that. You know why I can't stand that? Because what I might think it's worth is not what they think it's worth. I would rather hear what they think it's worth than I can go ahead and give them what they think it's worth. I always get it wrong. I mean, Jimmy does something for me. And I'll say, Jimmy, what owe you? And he'll say, oh, about $120. Oh, Jimmy, wait a minute. I was thinking more like 60. That's why I don't like to hear that. But folks, God will appropriately repay those that refuse Him, that refuse His Son. And there is just one payment. If you think about it, everybody gets paid the same. Hell gonna be hot, I don't care. Right? That's the payment. You know, it's not like he says, well, I'll put you over here in a little cooler spot. I didn't know there was a cooler spot. You know, you throw somebody in a big fire. Try to find you a cool place. It don't work. So then he says, I'm going to trouble them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. Let me tell you something. I know that your righteous soul is vexed every day, as mine is. If Christ dwelleth in you, if the Holy Spirit indwelleth in you, if God the Father dwelleth in you, I assure you your righteous soul, made righteous by God, is vexed, troubled. That's the word, troubled, every day. You think to yourself, why won't they listen? And it just troubles you. But you know what else I have? You remember the two things that you get from being in the church? Thank you, but it's grace and peace. Thanks for trying. You can take grace, Jimmy, because he says, my grace is what? Sufficient. It doesn't say my grace is sufficient if you are in this situation or if you're in that situation. No, it's a blanket thing. Everybody knows what a blanket statement is, don't you? It covers it all. I don't care what your circumstances are. I don't care what your situation is. I don't care how sick you are. I don't care what ails you. I don't care about your financial situation. It doesn't matter, bless God. His grace is sufficient. But remember who gets grace? The saints, the children, and the church. All are one, by the way. That's the only ones that know that grace, that it's sufficient, folks. The world, They need it, but they don't have it. And then the other thing was what? Peace. It too is a blanket thing. You remember Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you." When did he say that? Does anybody recall when he said that statement? It's okay if you don't. I'm going to tell you. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. Or if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, say it loud, honey.
I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
What did Thomas say? Lord, we don't know the way.
I'm the way.
Oh, that's what Jesus answered him, was it? I am the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man, woman, boy, or girl cometh to the Father but by me. And then he says it, my peace. This peace that comes with knowing that though I have gone away, I'm going to come again. I have prepared for you a place, and I'm going to come and I'm going to get you. Oh, I don't care if you're sick. I don't care if you're near death. I don't care if you're poor. I don't care if you ain't got a thing to eat in the house. Bless God, I'm still coming.
Amen.
I don't care if your bank account is full. I'm still coming. And I'm coming to get you. Now, if that don't give you peace, I can't help you. So he goes on and says this. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance. Oh, now remember the sweet and the bitter. Oh, listen, I'll give you some sweet stuff. Now I got to give you some bitter stuff. He says, I'm going to come. And you know what I'm going to do when I get there? All that word taken is a good word. Taking vengeance. You know what it means? When I take my hand and slap you upside the head or backhand you. Anybody ever been slapped by a woman? Men? I ain't been funny now. I've been serious. I've been slapped by a woman. It's humiliating. It's humiliating. You want to knock them back, but you can't. Oh, no. Well, maybe in this day and age you can. But when I grew up, if I'd have slapped my wife back, my dad would have knocked me out. It's humiliating. It's humiliating. Women, anybody ever been slapped by a man? Oh, come on. It's okay. God forgives everything. I had one honest person in here. It's humiliating. What do you think it's going to be when God slaps them upside the head? I'm not talking figuratively. I'm talking literally. If you think God can't hurt you with a slap, just wait and get slapped. That's what he says. He's coming. He's coming for one thing. He's already come and got his children. Now, bless God, he's going to turn to them. I'm going to trouble them that troubled you. I'll slap them right upside the head. Oh, that's going to hurt. Maybe y'all ain't getting that. When God slaps you, you're going to hurt, my friend. He says, rest with us. And when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. The word know, it's a good word. You remember I gave you a verse in I believe it was Isaiah 45 last week, I believe it was. I gave you one verse out of that chapter. What was it? That's okay if you don't remember. I'm going to tell you anyway. I just wondered if anybody remembered. Geno Canobli. They sell it. Where do you get Geno Canobli? What pharmacy sells that Geno Canobli? You know, it helps you with your memory. Maybe you could go on Fox. Maybe you could go on Fox and get you some of those pills they're talking about. You know, the vegetable and the fruit pills. This one guy says, well, I'm 78 years old, and I wasn't able to play softball anymore, and I took these pills, and now I'm playing every day. I started to get me some of them things expensive. I didn't trust it. I didn't trust it. Anybody know where I was? I got off track. Yeah, thank you, honey. I'm glad somebody's staying up with me. In Isaiah, it says this, look unto me and live. You know what the word know there means? To them that know not, it means to them that look not. Oh, honey, let me get out of your way. I'm sorry. To them that look not, they wouldn't turn and look to him. Remember, I gave you that illustration last week. You know, if you're going to look at someone, you have to do what? You have to turn around because he's not out in front of you. He's behind you. You're going the wrong way. He's back here. And if you don't turn and look at him, guess what? He's going to slap you upside the head. And it's not going to be fun. He's going to bring vengeance. So he says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that would not look to me. That to God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you notice that? Did you notice that? How do you get into church? I just read it to you. No. You're in the church by God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you get in, right? Well, when you turn to look, it says, that would not look to God through Jesus Christ. You know, you can say, I'm going to turn and look, but you can't have a general statement about God. No. The world wants a general statement about God. Well, I know God. Not if you don't know His Son, you don't. That's what that says. I'm not making this up. This is God's word, not mine. I don't make the rules. God made the rules. I'm just going to obey Him. I'm going to obey His rules. And then when He comes, you know what? I'll show you. Hang in there. If you obey His rules, I'll show you what happens. Who shall be punished with everlasting death from the presence of the Lord. If you want to know what punishment really is, it's not just going to hell, my friend. It's being out of the presence of God. You'll never know His love. You'll never know His mercy. You'll never experience His grace. You'll never experience His benefits. You won't experience one thing of God's. You'll be done. And then He says, and from the glory of His power, when He shall appear, when He shall come to be glorified. Oh, here's the sweet stuff again. I gave you the bitter, but now I'm going to give you some more sweet. It's more sweet than it's bitter. And when He shall appear to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them. In that day when we get to just honor Him. In that day when we just get to admire. Revelation says it like this, and we shall see Him face to face. Amen. But if you don't know Him, you'll never be in His presence, much less see Him face to face. That believe in that day, because our testimony among you was believed. I want you to know something right there. The ones that believed still believe in that day. How you like that? You say, well, ain't we something? We believed and boy, we just kept believing and now we're here. Well, no, let me tell you why. I'll give it to you. It's right back in page. Y'all have done forgot it. I didn't. He says this, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you who will also do it. You'll stand and see him face to face. Because of his faithfulness. Because I'm going to tell you right now, this fat boy right here wouldn't make it on his own. If it was up to my faithfulness, I'm afraid I failed. But he don't fail.
That's right.
And so he goes on to say this. Come on in, I'm almost done. I ain't quitting today. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints, to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you. Wasn't that what he said? Pray without ceasing. He's not changed the message. That our God would count you worthy of this calling. Well, how is he going to count you worthy? His son. If you don't know his son, you're not worthy. You won't be worthy. You get slapped upside the head. And fulfill the good pleasure of his goodness and the work in faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. The name. I'm going to give you this and then I'm done. Come on in, I'm done just about. Neither is there any salvation in any other name. For there is no other name under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. This world will come through Christ, or they'll face judgment, punishment, abandonment from the presence of God in a lake of fire and brimstone where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched forever. Forever. I don't care if you're young, middle-aged, or old. The message is the same. Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I alone will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. You may be persecuted. You may be troubled. Take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See you next week.